Hey, you're listening to the Monsters Mornings on Real Radio 104.1, and we are broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. You want to go check that out, and also to our website, monsters.fm. There's all kinds of cool stuff to check out, and prizes you can win, and we've got Monster Christmas songs, all kinds of stuff on the website at monsters.fm. Today, we've got a real-life astronaut is here with us today, John McBride, and I just found something out, which is really cool. Let's go ahead and let John... So when you're talking to an astronaut, is it Mr. McBride, officer?
Your Honor?
What's the best way to...
Sir?
Just call me John.
Just John? John, right. I just looked up your Wikipedia. Usually is kind of ridiculous because people can put whatever they want on there, but some stuff is important. And you are from the same town that my parents are from.
I heard that on the way in here this morning.
That's crazy.
Charleston, West Virginia.
What was the name of the furniture company?
My grandfather owned the first... TV store. It was in downtown Charleston, West Virginia.
We probably bought our TV from him.
It was Sigmund. What was his name?
Oh, yeah.
Sigmund's TV.
I remember that.
That's crazy.
And my mom and dad are from Charleston, West Virginia. And so are mine. What high school did they go to?
We moved to Beckley, so I graduated from Woodrow Wilson High School.
Woodrow Wilson. They were Stonewall Jackson.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. And I'm married to a girl now who's from Charleston, West Virginia. Her whole family's from West Virginia. We're all probably related in some way.
We probably are.
Yeah, more than likely. So you grew up in Charleston, West Virginia. That is not a place you think of where you have a lot of astronauts and really super smart people come out of.
Well, I am the only astronaut from West Virginia currently. But for 30 years, I've been encouraging everybody I can back there to come and join. Following my footsteps. Glad to see that.
I guess so. Do you go back to Charleston very often?
I get back to West Virginia 2 or 3 times a year.
Do you really?
I got to. Went up there. Well, I went to Morgantown a couple of weeks ago for the Texas game, which I'm sorry about that one.
Yeah. So a young man growing up in Charleston, West Virginia, what guided you towards the way of ended up being an astronaut? Was it your desire as a kid?
Well, in my junior high school days, everybody seemed like every kid, male kid anyway, in this country was interested in rocketry and science and airplanes. And I, too, was caught up in the Sputnik, all that kind of stuff in the late 50s. And fortunately, in 1960, I got to meet John Kennedy.
Coming through
my hometown campaigning to be president, and I got to spend 5 or 10 minutes with him and Jackie before anybody else showed up at the rally.
How did that happen? It was just
a coincidence? I believe in divine intervention, sure. All that kind of stuff. I spent 10 minutes with he and Jackie before anybody else showed up for the rally, which got his autograph, which I passed along to my son, and he's now up to 40 presidential autographs.
That's awesome.
It was exactly a year after that I met him that he had been elected, inaugurated, and now he was president in May of 61, about a year later, where he said, we're going to go to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And that got not only my attention, but the attention of every American at that time. And
oh, yeah.
I like to go back and recall that probably that challenge by Kennedy in 1961 kept this country together during some pretty turbulent times.
Sure.
Because every American was focused on this voyage to the moon. And so I was caught up in it. My whole... time in the Navy as a Navy fighter pilot, test pilot, and all this stuff. I was doing exactly the same things I had seen Alan Shepard and all the guys that wore gold wings like me. What did they do to get there? And I did exactly the same thing, which I preached to the kids.
Yeah. So you made that decision early on. Okay, I'm going to be an astronaut. Like you had decided,
like millions of other guys.
Right. And okay, so you follow that dream. You go into the Navy, right?
Right.
And you fly planes. And so when do you have to fill out an application? Do they call you and say, hey, look, you're the kind of guy we're looking for? Do you got to go knock on someone's door and say, sir, I would like to be an astronaut? How does that happen?
As I tell the kids, think ahead. Pick out somebody that's done something and do what they did to get to where you want to be.
And mentor.
I had watched Alan Shepard. I knew all the things they had done, many carrier landings and their combat training and all that kind of stuff. So in 13 years into my career, NASA said, we're looking for people to fly this new thing called Space shuttle.
Whoa.
Here I am, guys.
Wow. Now, what was the space shuttle that you flew?
I flew the Challenger.
Wow.
I was scheduled to be the commander of the Columbia on the flight right after we lost the Challenger, which we didn't get to do that.
Yeah.
So you flew the Challenger.
So you were the main drop pilot.
That's
the
crazy.
Piloto.
Yes. Wow, man. That is so awesome.
It's an awesome experience. But anyway, back to the selection process, they put out a call for applicants, and I think there were 18,000 that they looked at pretty seriously.
Wow.
It took about a year to go from 18,000 down to 200. Then the final 200, they would invite 10 or 15 of us every week to the Johnson Space Center for a week-long psychiatric, physical, psychological.
Oh, yeah.
They knew more about me after a week than I knew about myself.
And at that time, did people treat you like a rock star? Because, you know, now we see you know, rockets take off all the time, and some people, they barely
you
look up.
You weren't treated that way during the candidacy, problem, but after you got selected. I was in the very first class of space shuttle astronauts with Sally Ryan, our American women, and Guy Bluford, our first African-American, and Ellison Onizuka, Japanese-American, first West Virginian.
Yeah.
It really was a
wow
historic class, and I was very honored to be in it.
So there were
35 of us in the first class, the largest ever, because we needed a lot of people to fly a space shuttle with 7 people per flight, maybe 12 flights per year. So 15 pilots, 10 of us from the Navy, and the other 20 were the new category called mission specialists, Sally and all the other guys. We still needed pilots to fly this thing up, fly it around, and bring it home, but now we needed scientists and technicians
right.
and engineers to do all the science and launch the satellites and do the spacewalks. Sure.
So when you're going to fly the space shuttle, you're going to fly the Challenger, not a whole lot of guys can do that. Do they pull you aside and say, okay, now there's certain things you can say to the media, certain things you can't, because you represent the top of the top of the top elite. You're an astronaut. There's not many on the planet. I mean, do they talk to you about the things you can and can't say to the media?
They did not.
They didn't.
Which was a mistake. After my class was gone through all the training, we finally convinced NASA, you really need to give your next group of astronauts some media training.
Yeah.
Really?
And they did that. That's the first 2 or 3 weeks of every new class of astronauts that show up, they get that media training right off the bat.
Why did you decide that was an issue to deal with?
Because all of us were kind of thrown into the fire, you know, right off the bat, and a lot of people had never done that.
And no experience at all with it.
No experience whatsoever with media.
Yeah.
Huh. And it's not like today where, like, you know, everybody got a show on YouTube or here.
Right,
it must have been so foreign, you know.
By the way, astronaut John McBride is here to talk to us about the Kennedy Space Center, and they do some great things for the holidays in space, and we're definitely going to talk about that and what they do out there. If you've never been to the Kennedy Space Center, my goodness, you need to go. It's absolutely amazing.
Changes all the time. So if you were there last week, it could probably come to something new.
So. Yeah. Hey, John. Okay. So we hear John McBride here, by the way, astronaut. And of course, all my knowledge comes from movies. Okay, so I can see
and Star Trek,
right? And I can see them coming to you and say, "Listen, we're going to Mars, and we got this young buck, and he's a great, great astronaut, but we need someone who's been there. We need someone who's done it,
that's
and we
experience.
Need you to go with them and teach Ashton Kutcher how to go into space and get us to Mars. Will you? So if you were asked,
here's the thing: it's a one way trip.
No, we're going to bring you back.
So a mission to Mars. If they came to you and said, "Look, we know you're a bit older, but we know that you have the knowledge. Would you go to Mars?
I'd do it in a second.
Yeah,
really?
No hesitation whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah.
And how close are we to, because you hear about it all the time, like Elon Musk and other people that are really allegedly putting this whole thing together. How close are we to that being an actual reality?
We're kind of at a standstill right now. If we made the firm decision, you know, the Congress allowed us to have the money and all of everybody was behind it, it's going to take probably 10 to 15 years from that point. And we haven't reached that point.
Well, everything's running smooth right now.
We're doing a lot of research, and we're developing designs for spacecraft and all those kind of things. But until the commitment is made, well, okay, here's your money to go do these
right.
things.
Right. Do you think it's an important project? Do you think it's something that we need to do, or is it just something to keep us busy?
Oh, I think it's just like traditionally in the past, we'll learn thousands of new technologies and develop procedures that will improve our quality of life here on Earth. One of the things we must do before going to Mars is to develop the ability to recycle and reuse everything we take with us. There's zero waste in the system.
Right.
Closed loop. So if we can develop that, think what it'll do for humanity here on Earth, where we're burying ourselves in our own garbage.
Has 3D printing changed the game with that?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
And it will.
Yeah.
But we need a Kennedy thing, like in 61, the challenge to do that.
Yeah.
We have not gotten that yet, and nobody's jumped on board to make it happen.
So, okay, when you did get to fly the space shuttle and you were in space, what was the thing that you did not expect was going to happen that did? Something that kind of like, well, I didn't think that was going to be like that. Or were you so prepared that there really were no surprises once you got up in space?
The only surprise I had was on liftoff. At 2 minutes after liftoff, there's a big as we separate the solid rocket boosters. And I had never been briefed that it really was going to make a lot of noise. I knew that, but I didn't know that when it exploded, there's a film created by the pyrotechnics that cover the windscreen.
Whoa.
So here I am humming along, looking at the blue sky and getting 3, 2, 1, kaboom. my windscreen gets totally dark.
Oh, no.
I look over at Bob Crippen, who'd flown just his fourth flight. He's looking at me smiling.
Oh, he knew
They
it.
Don't tell the new pilots this happens because they want to see what your
reaction is. Oh, that's funny.
It wasn't funny at the time.
It's like astronaut secret jokes.
Right.
So if you're the pilot, are you like the captain of the ship?
No, the captain's the script, or the commander's the captain.
Oh,
of
there's
the
a
ship.
Commander, and then you're
both
the,
pilots.
You're both pilots.
It's like the airlines where the captain sits in the left seat and the pilot sits, but they both fly.
Yeah.
What is like the first thing, like once you got out of Earth's atmosphere, like what is the first thing that you felt or saw or like, how was that? Because you're one of the only people in the world that's ever done that. I need to know.
It was magical. I hadn't even had a chance to look out the window for about the first 45 minutes. So busy with post-insertion procedures.
Right.
It was 45 minutes later when I actually got to take my seatbelt loose and float up and I did a tumble, didn't have to walk anymore. Back in the aft part of the cockpit where my job is to open up the payload bay doors. I hadn't seen Earth yet, waiting for that moment. Hit the button and the doors start opening. My God, I'm over Australia.
Oh, my
Whoa!
Goodness.
45 minutes after leaving Florida, and as the doors open, I could see from Perth to Sydney.
Oh, my gosh.
And what enhanced the whole process was right next to me was Paul Scully Power, the first Australian to fly in space.
Oh,
he and I got to witness this thing at the same time. It was just a...
Now, with us here is John McBride, a real-life astronaut from the Kennedy Space Center, and they have something I want to ask you about, but go ahead.
Is it true that you can't see Earth whole from the space shuttle?
No, you can't.
You can't, right?
We operate from 100 to 300 miles above the Earth, so you can maybe see 1,500 miles in all directions.
That blew my mind when I realized that all the pictures of Earth are kind of created
by
NASA.
Well, if you see the old Earth, there's several thousands of miles.
Yeah.
Away.
Yeah,
there's a magic number, and I don't know exactly.
So the movies don't have that part right, because you know they cut out, and all of a sudden there's perfect Earth.
I do remember flying down the United States over the Mississippi, and you can look to the west and see the Pacific Rim, and you can look to the east and see the Atlantic, so you can essentially see across.
Oh my gosh!
That's so cool.
And I heard him talking about this when there's some guy that's convinced the Earth is flat.
Where is this guy? I want to meet him.
and he's trying to convince everybody that the Earth is flat because astronauts can't really see the edges of the Earth when they go into space.
Yeah, there's
what's your thought process on that, John?
Has he seen the pictures we took from the moon of the Earth?
Yeah.
Look at those.
Take a look at them, okay.
I've told people for years that it would have taken a lot more time, effort, and money to fake that than to do it.
You're right, right. And what is the astronaut training experience that's at the Kennedy Space Center? What is
that? It's a whole new experience we're going to open up. Probably the first of the year, which will allow you to come down and train to go to Mars and actually get in the spacecraft and be in the control room on Mars and do things on Mars and totally immersed for up to a day
in
Martian activities.
I mean, that's you hear about this all the time, and it does seem like in our lifetime there's going to be an attempt at least.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah?
It's going to be – somebody's got to make that decision and make it happen. We need the – Kennedy thing.
Yes.
To unite us all, make us go do it.
And there are a lot of launches that go on at the Kennedy Space Center.
We're going to have, it could be 30 or more this year.
Wow. And that's got to be, that's great for the local economy. Do you go and see all of these, or are you also to the point where you're like, I can miss this one?
If I'm in town, I can't miss it because I live right across the river from the Space Center. See all the launch pads. So.
Now, do you live over there because of what your job was, or
yes.
Do you live over there because you love it?
Both.
Now, that area of Cape Canaveral used to be like a happening spot for all you astronaut party guys.
Oh, yeah. We don't party. Astronauts never party.
Not
anymore.
No,
never.
Like, you
particularly
got to go,
the Navy ones.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, when is the next launch? Do you know?
I think it's after the first of the year. Now.
Okay.
No, wait. Maybe it's been moving around. It could be in the next week or so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But, what I've been told is a lot of times you'll walk around at the Kennedy Space Center and just bump into people and start telling them about the experience and talking to people. Like you're there as like a real astronaut that people can talk to.
We have a real astronaut there every day, and over the Christmas season, we're going to have one at night. So you can have dinner with an astronaut if you'd like to do that.
Huh. Is there one astronaut that is not as smart as the rest? Is there one that y'all make fun of?
Yeah, like Willie.
No.
He shuts the gate doors. He kind of gets out.
If there were, we wouldn't talk about it.
Angel, question for astronaut John McBride, who's here thanks to the Kennedy Space Center, and they want to remind you that the holidays in space are happening.
Now, with your job and being able to see a lot of, I guess, this galaxy that most of us do not see, do you entertain the thought, or is there a possibility that there's alien life forms in other galaxies or in other worlds?
I haven't seen it, but I'll guarantee you that I would almost guarantee that there's something out there somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, our Hubble telescope has now found are by about 500 other solar systems and moons just like ours.
Yep.
So who's to say that there couldn't be something out there somewhere?
I
haven't seen it yet.
Have you seen the committee that Tom DeLong put together filled with like the most credible people in the industry? It seems legit. I mean, about them slowly introducing the, you know, planet Earth to these aliens, and they're dead serious about it. It's the most,
well, there could be millions of these things out there somewhere, and for somebody to think that's not the chances of something, it may not look and talk like we do,
not bugs,
but something that's live and an organism, kind of organism somewhere in this solar system, not our solar.
Like
I don't think there's anything
troopers.
In our solar system. I think we're the only ones, but you get on out and it's the universe. I think it'd be silly to think there's not a possibility of something like that out there.
Hey, John McBride here. He's an astronaut, believe it or not, sitting here with us right now. If a lot of parents are taking their kids to school right now, they might be listening. If you're going to talk to a young kid and they're like, I want to be an astronaut, what is it you would tell them in order to follow that path? What would be the best advice to give some kid who wants to be an astronaut?
Math.
Oh, well, school, obviously. I would tell them to set their dreams and follow them, make them happen. And you can do that by staying in school, studying, listening to your parents and your grandparents and people that really care about you, and do the right thing.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of doing the right thing, studying, doing all the things that you've seen. If you pick out somebody, I tell them that's done something, and you do what they did.
And would you say like, going into the Air Force, good idea, or the Navy, or the Marine Corps?
The Navy's the best idea.
The Navy.
I have a question.
Yes, Savannah, okay. A question for John McBride.
So, you were the first Challenger pilot, right? No? Close to the front?
Yeah.
I was going to ask a question, but now it doesn't make sense. I apologize. I didn't mean to take your time away. I do apologize.
That's okay. So for the holidays, will you be around for the holidays at the Kennedy Space Center?
Then we'll have an extra astronaut or two to have lunches and dinners.
You know what I was amazed about when I went to the Kennedy Space Center is how many people from around the world, like
I think, I don't know the exact number, but it's nearly 50% of the people that visit us come from other countries.
Yeah. And it seems like the British seem to be so enamored with our, with our space program, and then they really, really are.
To say it, but I think most of the world knows more about our space program than a lot of Americans do.
That's what I was going to say. It seemed like there were more people from all over.
We got a lot of folks from South America, a lot of folks from
India.
Europe.
And we take it for
India.
It seems like Americans take it for granted. And I remember going and feeling this incredible amount of patriotism. Like, man, America, we figured this out. And everyone else is going, how did America do this?
Right.
It really is an awesome feeling to go there.
Oh, it's an awesome achievement that we did what we did when we did it.
Yeah.
What is an astronaut? Someone who's done almost everything. I mean, like, you were in space. Like, what do you do for fun?
Wow.
What makes you excited?
Well, I still have the opportunity to work at the Kennedy Space Center
almost
each and every day, so that keeps me excited, the people that come. And
but most fun thing, like, what could you get? Like, do you skydive? Like, bungee jump? Orlando Eye?
Corvettes?
Corvettes, yeah.
Corvettes. Oh, yeah. Because you like to go fast.
Yes, I do.
All right, John, this is a very important question right now. Star Wars, Star Trek, which is better?
Oh, boy. I like the Trek.
West Virginia in the house. Yeah, right. That's the man right there. Charles, we got to be related. At least I'm going to tell people we are. It's John McBride. Thank you so much for coming in. It's a great honor meeting you.
I want to encourage all the folks to come out and see us over Christmas. So we got the fighting gravity folks. It's going to be a tremendous show from dawn till dusk.
Hey, and thank you for your service to not only our country, but what you do for kids and stuff. I think it's awesome, and it's good to see someone who's a positive influence.
Sure, thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much. And once again, it's the Kennedy Space Center. You can visit there during the holidays. It's a great time to go, and you will absolutely love it. You don't even have to have kids. If you're a grown adult, you'll have a great time at the Kennedy Space Center. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Yay!
Hey, your chance to guess one of the six things we're going to talk about. Don't go anywhere. Listen to the Monster of the Morning.
Seen your face round since I was a kid. You're bringing back those memories of the things that we did. You're hanging round and climbing trees pretending to fly. Do you want to be a spaceman and live in the sky? God, how many bills to pay and how many kids? And you forgot about the things that we did. The town where we're living has made you a man, and all of your dreams are washed away in the sand. Well, it's all right.
Measuring success by the number of childhood traumas uncovered.
Your father and I are going to the store.
Her show.
To buy lubricant.
Real Radio 104.1.
Pro Flowers has something special for you right now. It's the great time of year to get to... Here's the thing. Okay.